And this is definitely a... This is definitely an online class. It's almost like my house. Because it's raining out here. For those of you watching us all over the from all over the world, this is Lord Balaram's appearance day. And it's raining now in North Carolina, and we're expecting like a semi-hurricane tonight. So there's not going to be many people. Also, we had planned to do it online. And so we're going to have the Abhi Sheikh in about an hour. But we will speak about Lord Balaram. I'm speaking from the temple today. So that's why it's taking a little longer to get set up than normal. And we'll get started. Is your mother coming in here? Oh, there they are. At least we'll have some fans here. At least Narada Muni is here, and the rest of the disciplic succession. Okay, is someone going to set up the Abhi Sheikh or? They're coming.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay, so I guess this is mostly online today, which is the general case for my classes in the evening. Actually, we have more people here in the evening than I usually have in my house. It's usually just one. Usually just me. Okay. So, welcome to Lord Balaram's. Okay. Everybody, please. Calm down. Okay, let's chant. First, we're going to chant Jai Ranamadava. And then after that, I'll tell you what the order is going to be here. After that, we're going to read the prayers to Lord Balaram that are written by Srila Vyasadeva. And this is called the Balabhadra Stotra Kavacha. It's from the Garga Sanghita. And there's also, there's the Balaram Ashtaka, which is spoken by Duryodhana, which you're not going to read. We did that last year. Balaram is also known as Duryodhana Guru, because he's the guru of Duryodhana. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Okay. Balaram ki jai. Jai Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balaba Kiri Bodhara Hore Gopi Jana Balaba Kiri Bodhara Hore Yasuda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasuda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Banacha Uti Yamuna Tera Banachare Jai Radha Madhuva Kunjabi Hati Jai Madhuva Kunya Vihalti. Gopichana Malaba Kiri Badadahuti. Gopi dana palaba kiri baradauti. Yasoda nandana braja jana nanda huna. Yasoda nandana braja jana nanda huna. Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jayurada Madhuva Kunyabihati. Jayurada Madhuva Kunyabihati. Madhuva Kunyabihati. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parvatacharya Osutera Sutashi Shimad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Gijaya ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Gijaya Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Gijaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Gijaya Premse Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopinath Shai Mukunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagadathasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Lassi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premananda. Hari Hari Bo. Om Vishmadai Krishna Vishnai Budhai. Sri Madhubhakti Vedanta Swami Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Dejatarni. So, Omagana Tivadandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who is the representative of Balaram, who has so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So this morning, and actually even yesterday, with Drishti Prabhu's class, there was a lot of philosophical information given. So I'd like to actually not do too much philosophy tonight. I'd like to talk more about Leela and Ras and Bhav, if that's all right with you. But there will be a little philosophy as we read the Stotra, the Balaram Kavacha. Now, a Kavacha is something that protects you. You know, sometimes it's a little amulet that people wear, and sometimes it's a prayer. It's something of protection. It's interesting also that today is Raksha Bandhan, in which the ladies give to their brothers or people who want to be their brothers. They tie this little rakhi around their wrist, and that's to say that they're supposed to protect them. And that rakhi is sometimes called ananta, which is really interesting. Because the word ananta means Ananta means without end. So Balaram, and is the brother of Krishna, of course, and Balaram is protecting us without end from Krishna's illusory energy. Although, as we heard this morning, and also I believe yesterday, that we have to make our own endeavors too. So in other words, Balaram personifies this statement, man proposes, God disposes. So in other words, you can't just like sit back and have Balaram kill all your demons. You got to do something about it. And Balaram, as we knew, as we heard before, is Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda is the most merciful, and Balaram is very merciful. And so we have to take advantage of that mercy. Just like if it rains, the ground has to take advantage of the rain. The concrete doesn't take advantage of the rain. So many of us are or have hearts that are steel framed. In other words, even though there's so much chanting, according to the Bhagavatam actually says this, in spite of chanting so much, we don't feel tears coming from the eyes. We just chant ritualistically, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then, you know, we even have trouble keeping ourselves from talking during japa period. I mean, one of the standard things I do, or I used to do quite a bit, is tell people to be quiet during japa period. Because there's a tendency to, what's it, vacho vegam, udapashta, divo vegam, udapashta vegam. So the tongue, is, as described in our prasadam prayers, is the most voracious and uncontrollable. So we have to make the endeavor to take shelter of Krishna's holy name is to do concentrated chanting. In fact, that's what the word sankirtan means, not only congregational chanting, but concentrated, fixed chanting. So anyway, so we need to make an endeavor if we want Balaram's mercy. Without the mercy of Balaram, no one makes any spiritual advancement. So let's speak a little bit about philosophy here as we read the stotra. And this is beautiful. As I mentioned before, it's from the Garga Sanghita. Another thing that's interesting is that Garga Sanghita gives a little bit different information about Balaram's appearance than Jiva Goswami gives. The Garga Sanghita says that Balaram actually appeared after Janmashtami, and then a whole year later, Krishna appeared. Whereas Srila Jiva Goswami states that Balaram appeared like 8 days before Krishna, and then Krishna appeared. So anyway, technicalities. But in any case, but actually the proof that Balaram appeared just 8 days before Krishna is because they had their name-giving ceremony at the same time. I mean, if someone appears a whole year before you, you're not going to have your name-giving, you're not going to wait a whole year to give someone their name. So that's the proof. Okay, so we're going to read in English. I'm not going to read the Sanskrit because it would take too long, and we only have an hour here. May Lord Balaram, who is the master of Goloka. Actually, I should comment on each part here. What does it mean, the master of Goloka? Well, this involves a little philosophy. Like, Krishna has his internal potency is broken up into three parts, Sambit, Sandini, and Ladini. So the, or Sandini, Sambit, and Ladini, in that order. So Sandini is the existential potency of the Lord. What does that mean? It means that which maintains everything, the existence, you know, the foundation of the existence of everything, both the material and spiritual worlds. Well, I said I wasn't going to get into philosophy. Here I go. But anyway, so they're like Balaram in this material world. He's holding up all the planets on his hoods, and he's actually gravity, which is interesting. So there's no like law of gravity. It all depends on Balaram. And in the spiritual world, Balaram provides all the ingredients, like the land of Braj, the Krishna's seat, Krishna's Brahman thread, the temple in this material world, everything spiritual and everything material is basically resting on Balaram. And of course, Balaram does have his expansions in this material world, such as the Karananakshay Vishnu and the Garbhadakshay Vishnu and the Shirodakshay Vishnu, which are expansions of Balaram. But Balaram, in his original aspect, never leaves Vrindavan, which is quite interesting. Just like we say, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So then how was it that Balaram was in Rohini's, Devaki's womb, and then transferred to Rohini's womb if he never leaves Vrindavan? Well, this is a very esoteric point. Just like we have Krishna, who was born, apparently, or appeared from Devaki, and then what happened is that Krishna, who appeared from Devaki, was brought by Vasudev to Braj, and then Vasudev left that Krishna there, and he took away the daughter that was apparently born to Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. But actually, the acharyas explain that Krishna was also born as the son directly from the womb of Yashoda Mai. Krishna was born directly as the son of Yashoda Mai. And so what happened is when Vasudev, brought Krishna from Mathura, and the Krishna from Mathura is known as Vasudev Krishna. You know, try to understand the difference in pronunciation. Vasudev refers to God. Vasudev refers to Krishna's father in Mathura. That's Vasudev. You know Vasudev in Devaki. So anyway, so the Vasudev Krishna was brought by Vasudev to Braj, and the Vasudev Krishna entered into, if you ask somebody to explain what entered means, this is beyond the ability of a poor jiva soul to understand. You know, as is most of Krishna's activities and creation and opulences and everything like that. Anyway, so the Vasudev Krishna, the expansion of Krishna, entered into Krishna Rajendra Nandana. And so Krishna actually was born in Braj. And the same thing with Balaram. When he was transferred by the action of Yogamaya, that was, I guess, like an expansion of Balaram in Mathura. And actually, he was the actual son of Rohini. And Rohini, of course, was another wife of Vasudev. So, anyway. So it's a little esoteric there. So Balaram is the master of Goloka because he is sustaining Goloka. The Sandini Shakti, you understand? Sandini means the existential. And the Samvit is what we call the cognitive potency. Like vit, wit, you have a lot of wit in English, right? I think in German they use the word vit too. And so, and then the Ladini Shakti, I think you can all guess who is the Ladini Shakti. Srimati Radharani. That's the pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord. So Balaram actually is the master of Goloka. And he's described here, who is the supreme controller of all controllers? Wow. And whose fame is spotless, protect me. May he protect me. May Lord Balaram, who on his head holds the earth, here's an explanation of what I just mentioned, as if it were a single mustard seed, protect me in this world. That's the first one. May Lord Balaram protect me when I am surrounded by many armies. Remember, Lord Balaram appears, at least outside of Braj, as a kshatriya. So that means he has his plow and he protects. It's interesting, some of the acharyas describe, although this, there's some conflict in some of the description of the acharyas. Some of the acharyas describe that Balaram doesn't have a plow outside of Vrindavan, whereas other Other acharyas describe Balaram does have a plow outside of Vrindavan. I mean, in Vrindavan, sorry. He says, always protect me in battle. May Lord Balaram, who holds a club, always protect me in many fortresses. May Lord Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, protect me in the forest. May Lord Balaram, who wears blue garments and who stopped the Yamuna, always protect me in fire. We're going to talk about that story in a little later. May Lord Balaram protect me in the wind. May Lord Balaram protect me in the sky. May Lord Balaram, who is Lord Ananta himself, always protect me in the great ocean. May Lord Balaram, who is Vasudeva's son, protect me on mountains. May Lord Balaram, who has 1,000 heads, protect me in great disputes. May Lord Balaram, who is Rohini's son, protect me from diseases. May Lord Balaram, who fulfills desires, protect me from catastrophes. May Lord Balaram, who is the enemy of Dhenukasura, we heard about him this morning, always protect me from lust. May Lord Balaram, who killed Vidvida, and we'll talk about that this evening, always protect me from anger. May Lord Balaram, who is the enemy of Balvala, always protect me from greed. May Lord Balaram, who is the enemy of Jarasandha, always protect me from illusion. May Lord Balaram, who is the best of the Vrishnis, always protect me at sunrise. May Lord Balaram, who is the king of Mathura city, always protect me in the morning. May Lord Balaram, who is the friend of the Gopas, always protect me at midday. May Lord Balaram, who is supremely independent, always protect me in the afternoon. May Lord Balaram, who is the king of serpents, always protect me at sunset. May Lord Balaram, who is greater than the greatest, always protect me in the evening. May Lord Balaram, whose power is invincible, always protect me in the middle of the night. May Lord Balaram always protect me at every sunrise. May Lord Balaram, who is the master of Revati, protect me from every direction. May Lord Balaram, who is the enemy of Palamba, protect me from every direction. Protect me in the evening. Whoops. Sorry. Protect me in every direction. May Lord Balaram, who is the best of the Yadavas, protect me from below. May Lord Balaram always protect me from above. May Lord Balaram protect me from near and far. May Lord Balaram protect me everywhere. May Lord Balaram, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always protect me from within. May powerful Lord Balaram, who enjoys pastimes as the king of serpents, protect me from without. May Lord Balaram, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, residing in everyone's heart, always protect me. Please know that this kavacha of Lord Balaram is the best of armors. It destroys the fears of the demigods and demons. It is a blazing fire that burns up the fuel of a host of sins. It is the death of a host of obstacles. It is the abode of spiritual perfection. So we pray to Lord Balaram this way. And now we're going to have some pastimes. The first pastime we're going to talk about is Balaram's marriage, which is quite interesting. Once upon a time, there was a king. His name was Revata. And he had 100 sons. People used to have a lot of sons in those days. And his eldest son was Kakudmi. And Kakudmi had a daughter named Revati, who was soon to be Balaram's wife. So what happened is Kakudmi, being a very good father, because it's the duty of the fathers to find husbands for their daughters. Actually, Prabhupada talked about this in many different ways. The very heavy way, he said, you know, basically, I'm not going to get into the details, but if the father cannot find a husband for his daughter before the daughter reaches puberty, then anyway, probably I'm not going to mention the details, but it's like death. I'm not saying that we should do this nowadays. So anyway, Kakudmi was in a lot of anxiety because he had such a qualified daughter. So he looked all around the universe her husband. Of course, they didn't have the internet in those days. So he went to Lord Brahma. And as he was going to see Lord Brahma, he was stopped at the door because Lord Brahma was very busy. He was seeing a dancing performance. And this is common in the higher planets. They have, like, nice dances, like Champaka does. And actually, they're really good dancers there. She's good. So anyway, so they had so many dancers, and Lord Brahma was just like being entertained, because even if you're in the heavenly planets, you need some recreation. It's not you just like all the time, you know, worried about all the people down here, but you need, you know, some time off. Like on this Earth planet, I guess the political leaders, they go play golf, right? In the middle of the coronavirus. So Lord Brahma, he was watching a dance. And what happened is that he came out after the dance performance and he said to Kukudmi, "Can I help you?" And Kukudmi said, "You know, I'm looking for a qualified son or son-in-law." And Lord Brahma started laughing at him. He said, "Look, 27 Chaturyugas have passed." What is a Chaturyuga? That means the four yugas together. They're called Divya Yugas. And we know, boy, that was a long dancing performance. Well, it wasn't that long. I guess it was just like a quarter of the day for Lord Brahma, because 1,000 Chaturyugas taken together, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam, is the duration of Lord Brahma's one day, and 1,000 is the duration of his night. So it was I guess it was a quarter of the day, a long dance performance. And he said 1,000 Divya Yugas have passed. 27 Divya Yugas have passed. And basically, no one remembers you. You won't know anyone when you go back to the Earth planet. But if you hurry up right now, you can find a nice son-in-law, a nice husband for your daughter. And that's Balaram. So that's how Balaram got married. And the story is there from the Bhagavatam. So, anyway, Balaram is also white color. Krishna is like blackish blue, like the rain cloud, like we're going to see, or we would see if it was light out tonight. And he's also known as Sankarshan. Sankarshan means, in one sense, someone who ties two families together. Now, what are the two families? The two families are the families of Vasudev and Nanda. They're actually tied together anyway, because Vasudev and Nanda were half-brothers. Their father was Surasena, and they had different mothers like that. So they were actually tied together. So Balaram brought these two families even closer together. And we mentioned his birth, how he was this son, actually, of Rohini, and his expansion appeared from the womb of Devaki, and the expansion entered into Rohini's son, and that was the Balaram in Vrindavan. And of course, we do understand, when we're talking about expansions, that there is absolutely no difference ontologically between, that's a big word for all of you, not for him, because he's a university guy, but there's no difference ontologically, existentially, between Balaram, Krishna, Balaram's expansion in Mathura, Krishna's expansion in Mathura, Krishna's expansion is Narayan. There's no difference. Advaita chuta anadir ananta rupa madhyam purana purusham navayavanam cha. There's one God, and he appears in a variety of ways. And Prabhupada many times gave different explanations and, you know, metaphors and similes for that, or stories that illustrated that, such as when a man goes to work, he has one particular aspect of his personality that he displays. He looks differently, he acts differently, he dresses differently. And when he's at home, he's the same person, but he acts differently and looks differently and dresses differently at home. So we have to understand that, the existential nature of Balaram and Krishna. So he had the he appeared 8 days before Krishna, and it's described in some of the pastimes that Balaram had a similar, experience when he first appeared, that he didn't open his eyes until Krishna came. That's very similar to Radharani's appearance. The Radharani was actually, people thought she was born blind, and then eventually she was brought to Krishna's house. And when she was brought to actually was at her house, and there was her name-giving ceremony, and Krishna came and Yashodamayi came, and when she actually smelled Krishna and they were both on the same lap, she opened her eyes for the first time. So Balaram is the same thing. Balaram, of course, as we mentioned, is the elder brother of Krishna, and there's a reason why he's the elder brother of Krishna rather than the younger brother of Krishna. It's because Balaram actually asked for that in his previous appearance as Lakshman. We all know the story of Lord Ram, how Lakshman was basically a humble servant of Ram in many ways. And of course, this is Balaram's existential position, that he is a humble servant of Krishna. But in the case of Krishna and Balaram, Balaram was the humble servant of Krishna as the elder brother, which really conflicts to a certain extent with ordinary etiquette. In India, of course, this type of etiquette is very much pronounced. For example, if you have an elder brother and a younger brother, the elder brother is supposed to get married before the younger brother, isn't it? And, you know, it's actually an embarrassment for the family. Come in. You're allowed. Don't have too many people here. So it's actually an embarrassment for the family when the younger brother actually gets married or elopes before the older brother. Please come in. Okay. Just have to be quiet. We're having class. When the so it's a violation of etiquette. And so it's a very important etiquette. No, also, the younger brother has to always listen to the elder brother. It's just like it's actually a written rule, isn't it, Adi? You're not sure. Where did you come from? So, because of that etiquette, when Lakshman was serving Ram, he actually did whatever Ram asked him to do, because Ram is known as Maryada Purushottam. Maryada Purushottam means that he is Chuparo. Okay. Thank you. In Hindi, that means shut up. So, sorry about the French. So Lord Ram is called Maryada Purushottam, which means he is the personality of good manners and etiquette. And Krishna does not really set that particular example. At least his pastimes are not illustrating that particular point. So because Lord Ram was setting the perfect example of etiquette, morality, culture, and Lakshman followed in his footsteps, then whatever Lord Ram asked Lakshman to do, Lakshman had to do, even if it went against his best judgment. And one of the things that went against Lakshman's best judgment, amongst many, was that Ram actually asked Lakshman to make a funeral pyre so Sita Devi could march into the fire after she was rescued by Ram and the monkeys from Ravan. And so, of course, the real story is that Sita was not going to enter into the fire. It was actually Maya Sita, and the real Sita was kept safe by the fire god, Agni. So getting back to the story, so Lakshman had to make the funeral pyre. He had to, after Sita proved her chastity, went back to Ayodhya with Ram, Lakshman had to just drop her off in the forest. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine like your brother saying, take my wife and just drop her off in the forest? Not only take my wife, but take my pregnant wife and drop her off in the forest and say goodbye. I mean, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? Of course, this is all the Lord's pastimes, and please don't criticize Lord Ram for it. So anyway, so Lakshman got pretty upset. And Ram very much appreciated Lakshman's devotion. So Ram said to Lakshman, you just ask for a benediction. Anything you want, you can have. And Lakshman said, I only want one thing. That from now on, I don't want to be your younger brother anymore. From now on, when we appear, I should be your elder brother. And Ram said, you know, of course, I bless you this way. However, when Krishna appeared, as I mentioned before, Krishna was not Maryada Purushottam. I often tell devotees that Ram sets a perfect example of what it means to be a leader, a king, or just like dharmic. Whereas Krishna sets a horrible example of what it means to be. I mean, externally. I mean, he sets an example of what it means to be God, you know, like that, and he shows his opulences and all that other nice stuff. But he's not our exemplar. He's not our role model. Ram's example was that he was willing to sacrifice his own happiness for the happiness of the citizens. And Krishna's example was, well, not that he wasn't interested in our happiness. Krishna's example is that even if he violates norms, you know, religious norms and cultural norms, he's God. He can do anything he wants. So he doesn't set an example for us. So anyway, so even insofar as the relationship between elder brother and younger brother, Krishna did not show a good example. And we're going to mention a few stories in that regard. One story is the story, this is a very interesting story, of the marriage of Arjuna and Subhadra. Once upon a time, Balaram, who happened to be Duryodhana's guru, and let's backtrack a little bit. Duryodhana approached Balaram to be his martial arts guru. And the reason he wanted to do that is because he wanted Balaram to promise that he could marry his sister, Subhadra, Balaram's sister, Subhadra. And so he had this whole plan. Actually, this plan was dreamt up by Shakuni. Duryodhana didn't have as much brains as Shakuni did. Anyway, Shakuni drew up this whole plan. Yes, approach Balaram, learn from him, and then ask him, Guru Maharaj, can I marry your sister? So, right. So that's what happened. He got trained up by Balaram in club fighting. And then he said to Balaram, can I marry your sister? And Balaram said, yes. And then he informed Subhadra, his sister, who was actually Yogamaya. Obviously, she could never get married to Duryodhana. That would have been impossible. So anyway, he informed Subhadra. Subhadra was just like freaked out by the whole thing. And everybody else wasn't in favor. But Balaram, you know, is very powerful. So everyone had to go along with it. Krishna, on the other hand, was thinking, this is not going to work because actually, the reason Duryodhana wanted to marry Subhadra was to have the Yadus on his side. And if he had the Yadus on his side, and Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas, he understood that Krishna would never fight against Balaram or never fight against the other Yadus. There's a little strategy there. That's why he was thinking of that particular marriage. That's why Shakuni was thinking of that particular marriage. So what happened is that Krishna had arranged that previously Arjuna was on pilgrimage. Now, the reason Arjuna was on pilgrimage was that Arjuna had actually intruded upon Draupadi and Yudhisthira to get his weapons when some cows were being stolen from a Brahmin. And they had a deal that if anyone intrude, any of the other brothers intruded upon a brother when he was with their common wife, who was Draupadi, they would have to go on exile for so many years and be a brahmachari for so many years. Okay. So that was agreed. So then what happened is that Arjuna had to intrude to get the weapons that were kept with Yudhisthira, because they were with Yudhisthira when Yudhisthira was with Draupadi. So Arjuna just like basically took a vow of brahmachari life, which didn't last very long. Arjuna, first thing happened, he was bathing in the Ganges, and he was dragged underwater by this girl, Ulupi, and she pulled him underwater. Imagine that, you're swimming, and some beautiful girl pulls you underwater. And she says, marry me. And he says, I can't, I'm supposed to be a brahmachari. And she just convinces him that brahmachari vow is only in relationship with Draupadi. So anyway, so he has this relationship, and also, anyways, he had other relationships in the same way. And eventually, but still he's dressed in saffron. You know, it's just like, it's really funny. And then he was told by Krishna that when you're going on this, you know, this brahmachari life, you should just finish up this whole vow, this whole period in Dwarka. And so Krishna knew what was going to happen. Because Krishna, as he says in the Gita, he knows everything past, present, and future. And Balaram is not really privy to Krishna's plans in many cases. It's quite interesting. So the whole time Krishna, just try to imagine this, the whole time Krishna is planning all these different things, and Balaram is not at all aware what's in Krishna's mind. And they're the same person. How is that possible, isn't it? That's a chincha. That's inconceivable. Many, many times, Balaram's not aware of why Krishna is doing what he's doing. And they're the same person. That's yogamaya. So, that's, of course, in the material world, we would call that split personality or multiple personality disorder. But this is not the case. This is lila. So what happened is that Arjuna is dressed as a sannyasi, and eventually, the story is in the Krishna book, of course, Arjuna gets invited to Balaram's house. And Balaram, of course, has a sister, Subhadra, there, and Krishna's there. And, you know, Prabhupada says that they're sitting down at the dinner table, and Arjuna is making eyes. You know, he's a sannyasi. He's making, not he's a real sannyasi, he's bogus sannyasi. Arjuna's making eyes at Subhadra. You know, can you imagine that? You invite some sannyasi to your house and he's looking at your daughter or sister. I don't know how they do it. Anyway, that's not one of the areas I'm expert in. So he's, nowadays they just, what, text or something like that. And you can't even tell what they're doing. So he's making eyes at her, and she's not quite aware. This is another story from the Garga Samhita, too. She's not quite aware that this is Arjuna yet, who she's madly in love with, because she's a cousin of Arjuna. So she knows about Arjuna. She's met Arjuna before. In those days, actually, cousins would marry cousins. Nowadays, of course, that's prohibited for genetic reasons. So Krishna tells her, go get the blessings from this sannyasi. This story's not there in Krishna book, but it's in the Garga Samhita. Krishna says, go get the blessings from the sannyasi. So what happens is that she approaches the sannyasi for blessings. He reveals who he is, and he says, hop on the chariot. It's actually Krishna's chariot. Hop on the chariot. It's all planned out by Krishna. So she drives the chariot, because the reason she drives the chariot is that so that Arjuna won't get blamed for kidnapping, because she actually is the one who kidnapped Arjuna. A similar thing happened also when Krishna kidnapped Rukmini. Krishna wasn't worried about getting the blame, but he just had to have someone drive the chariot so he could fight off all the soldiers that were following him. So anyway, so Arjuna drives off, or Subhadra drives off with Arjuna, and Balaram hears about it. Anyway, his plans are foiled. He's made all these plans. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's made all these plans, and they've been foiled. And he's really angry. So he calls for all the members of the Yadu dynasty. We got to kill this Arjuna. He's insulted us. And everybody gets everybody riled up. And then he looks around, and he sees Krishna smiling. So what do you think, Krishna? And Krishna just says, this is actually a blessing for our dynasty. Don't you remember how I kidnapped Rukmini? You know, what's wrong with this? This is, he's from a high-class family. And Balaram says, you did it again. He did it again. And so then Balaram welcomes Arjuna back, and they have a nice marriage, and they live happily ever after. So that's one of my favorite stories. Of course, referring back to the story of how Krishna kidnapped Rukmini, Balaram was also involved in that story too. Krishna received this message from Kundina that Rukmini was just like being offered to Shishupal by her brother Rukmi, and she said, you know, what is meant for the lion should not be taken by the jackals. And so Krishna gets this message. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it says that he would plan to remain a brahmachari, but he had to rescue this poor girl. Because as a kshatriya, the dharma was that if a kshatriya has a proper lady proposed to him, he has to get married to her. So don't be a kshatriya. It's actually quite dangerous. Because that's the dharma. It was the dharma in those days. So anyway, so Krishna gets this letter, and he goes to rescue Rukmini, and Balaram follows with the army. Okay, so then right outside of the temple of Durga, Krishna swoops Rukmini up, and all the other soldiers are so amazed with Rukmini's beauty that they faint and fall off their horses. And so Krishna starts going away, and then Shishupal sort of gives up, you know, it's not worth it. He hates Krishna anyway. And then Rukmi follows, and he says, if I do not bring back my sister and conquer this Krishna, I will not enter into my city Kundina anymore. So he follows him, and then he has a fight with Krishna. And Balaram sort of has to stop him from killing Rukmi. Now, this is important because something else happens later on. So Balaram stops him from killing Rukmi. He actually shaves off part of Rukmi's hair like that, and Rukmi is just really upset. And Rukmini is also upset, her poor brother, but at least her brother has not been killed during this whole affair. Later on, it's Balaram who kills Rukmi, which is very interesting. And this happened, we told the story the other day. This was in the marriage of Rukmini's grandson, Aniruddha, that means Krishna's grandson too, Aniruddha with Rukmini's granddaughter, Rochana. And it was held in another city called Bhojakata because Rukmi would not go back to Kundina, his city. So what happened in this particular case, Rukmi, he just heard Balaram was not a very good chess player, so he challenged Balaram to a chess match. And Balaram actually was winning. Mostly he was winning. And Rukmi just like refused to accept the fact that Balaram was winning. And Rukmi had this friend, the king of Kalinga, who was actually showing his teeth each time Rukmi declared himself to be the winner. And actually Balaram was winning. And Balaram kept upping the ante. Upping the ante means increasing his bet more and more, to 100 gold coins, 1,000 gold coins, and 10,000, and then 100 million gold coins. And then a voice from the air said that Balaram is... Whoops. Jai. We're doing a baby sacrifice today, too, I think. So it said that Balaram is actually the winner. But Rukmi would not accept that, and he just began to criticize Balaram as basically nobody knows what caste he is. You know, he could be a coward boy, he's not expert, and Balaram couldn't stand that anymore. He took his club, hit Rukmi on the head with a club, killed him, knocked out all the teeth of the king of Kalinga, broke all the arms and legs of all the other soldiers who were there, all the other Kshatriyas who were there, and that was at a marriage. Prabhupada comments that this was not at all uncommon during Kshatriya marriages. First of all, gambling was not uncommon, and then fighting. I mean, even there are certain temples, I'm not going to mention which temples, in certain parts of India, and when they have temples in the West, the police have to be called regularly to the temple when they have elections. I'm not going to say which sect it is, but the police have to be called regularly to the temple because there's this real martial spirit. I mean, you really have to understand the different cultures in India. Everywhere you go in India, there's a different culture and a different spirit. One time I was talking to a person from Rajasthan, Rajput, and he disagreed with me. And he said, Maharaj, if you weren't a sannyasi, I would take you out in the street and kill you right now. And I said, thank God I took sannyas. Anyway, so, you know, we really have to understand the different subcultures in India. I mean, nobody could defeat the Rajputs. I mean, they would just like you hear in the Battle of Kurukshetra, there are these soldiers on the opposite side, not Arjuna's side, but on Duryodhana's side, who had the vow that they would either win or die. And actually, Prabhupada told that story of this one king who went out to fight a battle, and he just came back without having won. And what happened? His wife wouldn't even let him back in the palace. You know, he knocked on the palace, what, moat or door or something like that, and he said, it's me. And she said, my husband would never come back unless he was dead. Come back if you're dead as a body, or had won the fight. And then he went out and fought again. So you really have to understand what it means to be a Kshatriya. A Kshatriya is challenged to a gambling match. A Kshatriya is challenged to a fight he cannot refuse. And that's also why Yudhisthira took up the challenge of the gambling match. So another interesting pastime of Balaram is his pastime with Dvidvida Gorilla. Now this is interesting because it involves Lakshman too. Dvidvida Gorilla and Mainda were two gorillas who helped Lord Ramchandra capture or bring back Sita Devi. And they were actually great devotees. But Dvidvida Gorilla had offended Lakshman. Somehow or other, he didn't like Lakshman. And this is also important. This point is brought forth by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he says, you should worship both brothers, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. If you worship one and disrespect the other, he calls that half a hen logic. Referring, of course, to the idea that if you want eggs from a chicken, especially the golden chicken who lays the golden egg, you got to accept both halves, the half that eats too. But anyway, it's half a hen logic, and he said it's better to be an atheist. I mean, atheist means someone who decries God, does not accept God at all. It's better to be an out-and-out atheist than to accept one and not the other. So that was Dvidvida's problem, and Mainda also. So they disrespected Lakshman. Then, later on, because these were long-lived gorillas, when Balaram was dancing with his, on the Raivataka mountain, he was dancing with his associates, I guess gopis, like that. This Dvidvida gorilla, he exhibited he actually showed the lower portion of his, it's described as rear end. He passed stool and urine and pulled the clothes, tried to pull the clothes of the gopis off. These are, incidentally, these are different gopis that Balaram danced with than Krishna danced with. And so finally, Balaram, was struck him in the throat and chest with his hand, and this vid gorilla vomited blood and died. And the final story, actually, it's almost 6 o'clock already. Time passes when you're... I wanted to talk about Balaram's rasa dance. Because we mentioned before that Balaram danced with different gopis than Krishna danced with. So, here's the story. Balaram became very eager to see his old friends in Goloka or Gokul, Nanda Gokul. And so he took Krishna's permission to go there to console them because they were feeling great separation from Krishna. And Krishna didn't go for two reasons. One is the Yadus wouldn't let him leave because they were afraid that once they let him go, he would not be able to come back. You know, the Rajabasis would just keep him with their love. They understood that the Rajabasis had more love for Krishna than they did. And then also, he didn't want to go because he understood that had he gone, the Brajavasis would have been in complete anxiety that he was going to leave again. So he decided not to go and just send Balaram. So when Balaram arrived there, Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj took Balaram in their laps, and they were crying, and they asked Balaram how all their relatives were doing, whether Krishna remembers them. I mean, they were suffering intense separation for something like 100 or to 100, actually not 125, because that's all Krishna's remained on the planet for, but let's say subtract 16 from that. For about 110 years, they were separated from Krishna, and they had to live like that. Hmm. And finally, the gopis approached Balaram, and they asked whether Krishna had become aloof from them because he had become the darling of the city women. Because city women are a lot more sophisticated than country girls. And so they thought, no, Krishna's just fallen for their wiles. Does he remember us? Does he remember our service? They tell Balaram, we gave up everything for them, for him. And then he abandoned us. And they said, how can the city women believe him after what he did to us? And then they said, it must be his smile. It must be Krishna's smile which awakens lust and bewilders everybody. Because they were thinking in this material world, when one is experiencing lust, one gets bewildered and one forgets everything. And we know that from the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Jayatovishak punsam sangostesha bhajayate sangatsan jayate kama kama krota bhajayate kurtabhavati samaha. Isn't it? When you contemplate sense objects, you get lusty, and after lust, you get bewildered, angry, of course, sorry. And then you get bewildered, you lose your memory, and you fall down into the material whirlpool. So they were thinking Krishna has just made them lusty. And the gopis said to Balaram, let's not talk about Krishna. Let's talk about something else more pleasant. And they can't. They try to change the subject matter. You know, let's talk about the weather. Well, the clouds look just like Krishna. So in this way, they couldn't stop talking about Krishna. So then Balaram gave them some confidential messages from Krishna. And he's actually called Sankarshan because he attracts Krishna to appear in people's minds. Wow. You know, we talk about Sankarshan brings both families together. So he brings Krishna to one's mind. And so he brought Krishna to the mind of the gopis. And then he began to tell stories about Krishna to the gopis. And his stories consisted of three different aspects. One aspect was just transcendental knowledge, gyan, which didn't impress the gopis that much. You know, Krishna's everywhere, Krishna's in everyone's heart. Then he had some conciliatory messages. You know, Krishna actually misses you. And he talked about the power of Krishna. And it didn't really pacify the gopis that much. And then he picked his own gopis, and he had this wonderful rasa dance that lasted for 2 months. And as I mentioned, these girls were different from Krishna's girls. And one time he was having his rasa dance near the Yamuna River. So he and the girls got drunk. Better not tell the story. Actually, you know, the spiritual world, there's drunkenness. In the material world, it's perverted, it's dirty, it's, what else? Crazy. It kills your brain cells. Don't do it. But in the spiritual world, you know, is there drugs and intoxication in this world? Because it's there in the spiritual world. Because I don't think they smoke marijuana in the spiritual world. But at least they drink, like honey wine and things like that. I mean, there's some descriptions in Krishna's pastimes that the gopis, they go to pour this wine into a glass, and the glass is actually upended. And it goes all over the place. So there's actually intoxication there. And if you hear about this intoxication, then you won't want to take intoxication in this world. So that's the cure. Just like if you hear about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis from the right person, then you're not going to want to have your own gopis or your own Krishna. As Rukmini says, oh my God, here's this verse again. When Rukmini is told by Krishna maybe she should get married again, there's this interesting verse where Rukmini says, so anybody who doesn't have devotion for you is attracted by someone who has a body with hairs and mucus and pus and stool and everything. I'm paraphrasing. That's Rukmini. Don't blame me. So there's intoxication. They have this wonderful beverage called Varuni beverage, which is made from honey. It's like a honey wine coming from the sap of the tree. It really flows from the trees because they're desire trees. In the spiritual world, the desire trees can give you intoxicating beverages. It's amazing, isn't it? Not beer. That's low class. But Varuni beverage. I remember that when we used to celebrate Balaram's appearance, we used to put honey on the altar and we labeled it Varuni. Did you label it like that here? No. No. There was honey this morning, wasn't it? I thought there was. Yeah. Varuni. Varuni beverage. And we used to have competition. Who could drink the most Varuni beverage? You remember that? We would sit at a picnic table and all the boys would drink that. Also, there's a story in the Ramayana how the monkeys went into this place called Madhuvan. That means the forest of honey. And they all drank the honey. After they had discovered where Sita Devi was, and they were rolling on the ground, they even beat up the guard, Dadi Mukh, of this place. You know, who was their uncle? You know, just like slapped him around, beat him up, because they were all completely drunk. And then, of course, the monkeys had to pass urine everywhere, but that's a different story. So anyway, in the spiritual world, there is intoxication. It's great. So we can get intoxicated now with the holy name. So anyway, he and the girls were drunk. The Gandharvas sang, and he was like a male elephant enjoying with a she elephant, like Ayurveda. His eyes were rolling. That's how intoxicated Balaram was. Can you imagine God being intoxicated? His eyes rolling. Like that. So when his eyes were rolling, he wanted to go swimming in the Yamuna. And I guess he just didn't want to make the effort of walking to the Yamuna, which was nearby. And he said to Yamuna Devi, come here. Of course, he probably spoke in a little slurred voice, you know, like people do when they're intoxicated. Don't get any ideas. So anyway, so he said, come here. She refused. And so we took the end of his plow and he began to drag her to him. And he said, you are sinful, you're a sinful one. And then she understood who Balaram was. She apologized and prayed to Balaram. Balaram entered the Yamuna with the gopis, which were like Lakshmi, his consort, with his blue garments, and he was like an elephant enjoying with the she elephants. And all these different nights for 2 months passed as one. That's Balaram's rasa dance. Another time he used, actually, I just want to tell this story. This is really nice. Another time he used his plow to drag a river. I just heard an interesting story in Vrindavan that in Braj, when there's fish, this has nothing to do with Balaram, okay, but I just heard it from Prabhupada. When there's fish in the Yamuna River and the fish are swimming and they get close to the Ganges, they turn around so they don't leave the Yamuna. That's pretty cool, isn't it? They don't want to go into the Ganges, you know, where the Ganges and the Yamuna meet with Triveni like that. So they don't want to go. Anyway, that had nothing to do with Balaram. So here's the final story about Balaram. Once upon a time, in Hastinapur, Duryodhana's daughter Lakshmana was kidnapped by Samba, the son of Jambavati. Actually, he was considered to be very cheeky, as they say. When he tried to kidnap her, he was arrested. Samba was arrested unfairly by all the Kurus. And Narada Muni carried the message to Ugrasena. And Ugrasena prepared to fight. But Balaram said, look, I can be a peacemaker. I'll be the messenger of Ugrasena. Okay? So let's not fight with him. We don't want to have a fight between the Kurus and the Yadus right now. And so he goes to speak to the Kurus, that's in Hastinapur. And the Kurus get so angry that Balaram is wanting to free Samba because Samba's been captured, that they say that Balaram is like the feet giving instructions to the head. Now, for those of you who don't understand like Indian culture or traditional culture, when you talk about someone being the feet or you touch something or someone with your feet, it's like an insult. I remember a few years ago there was some political leader from the United States, and I forget exactly who it was, had shoes thrown at him. Do anyone remember that story? George Bush, yeah. So in America, shoes, you know, whatever. I get an extra pair of shoes if someone throws it at me. But it's considered the greatest insult in those cultures. So they said to Balaram, you're like the feet and you're giving instruction to us. We're like the head. You borrowed the royal insignia of the Yadu dynasty from us. So in this way, they were insulting. So Balaram took his plow again and dragged Hastinapur towards the Ganges and the Yamuna. And actually, Prabhupada explains, and some of the acharyas explain, that the Kurus actually wanted to see Balaram's power. This is like a kshatriya playfulness that they were exhibiting. Oh, here's another story. I guess I have so many nice stories. Actually, we're over time, but it's all right. Once upon a time, Balaram heard about the Kurukshetra war, but he didn't want to take sides. So he decided to go on pilgrimage. Of course, Vidura did a similar thing like that. Of course, Vidura was kicked out of the kingdom by Duryodhana, insulted by Duryodhana. But Balaram went on pilgrimage basically for the whole period of time that the Kurukshetra war was being fought up to the end. So during this pilgrimage, he happened to come across Naimisharanya, which is where the sages were performing this like 1,000-year sacrifice to purify the whole world. And the leader of this whole sacrifice, his name was Romaharshana Sutta. And Romaharshana Sutta was a disciple of Srila Vyasadeva. But Balaram walked in and Romaharshana Sutta did not stand up to receive him. And Balaram immediately took a piece of kusha grass and killed Romaharshana Sutta. And the sages were I guess, understandably upset by the whole thing. So they told him, you have to atone for this act by killing this demon Balbala who's disturbing our sacrifices, and you have to go on pilgrimage for 1 year. Balbala is described as the son of Ilbala, bad father. And so Balaram killed him with his fist, and this demon immediately passed stool, urine, pus, etc. He had all this scatological stuff that occurs in these pastimes. Let's see, any other interesting stories? There's so many interesting stories. Okay, I think that's all we have time for. It's time for the Abhishek now. Well, I don't want to go on forever, but there's so many nice pastimes. Let's do the Abhishek now. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram ki jai. The original spiritual master Balaram. Okay?
Camera, you can take the camera and point it at. Oh, let me turn this off right now.